Please be seated. Good morning and welcome to Burlington East Presbyterian Church. I'm Jerry Fairbridge, a duty elder. If you're a visitor, welcome, and please sign the guest book at the back of the church. And please join us after the service for fellowship downstairs. I draw your attention to the announcement about Community Christmas Day dinner. We still need goodies, money, and gifts. And also, Beryl will be downstairs after the service with envelopes for our Christmas wish. This is a wonderful thing that this congregation does for the kids, the poor kids in the neighborhood. And I believe she still has five envelopes. Our minister, the Reverend Bruce McCanch.
Yes, I wanted to just announce as well that on next Sunday afternoon, we'll be having our longest night service that we have here, and it's an opportunity for people to come and remember someone maybe in your life that has passed away. It's a time to just be reflective as well, because Christmas can be hard on us in so many ways if we're alone, and it's just a quiet time. And I know the folks that have come here in the past have really quite enjoyed the experience. It's a time when we spend some quiet time, turn the lights down low, and we sit and read some scriptures and just be contemplative, so to speak. So I encourage you to come out to this service. It's not a downer, so to speak, in that sense. It is very much restorative and uplifting. Let's take a moment now to prepare our hearts for worship this morning. Call on Ingrid Golbeck and family.
Okay. The Baptist cries out, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." The way of God is made crooked by our sin. Will we confess our failings and repent? Will we remember God's steadfast love and faithfulness?
Restore us again and grant us your salvation.
As we have been baptized with God's mercy and grace, will we have the courage to forgive one another?
We pray that your life,
tricky. Thanks, Josh. I fixed the mic, Bob. You can do that one, Jay. There we go. Don't burn your finger. Thank you very much. I'll get it to you later. Let's join together now in our next hymn, number 149, a Christmas hymn this morning, "Away in a Manger." Please be seated. This is our time when we come before God with our prayers of adoration and confession, followed by the Lord's Prayer. God does not want anyone to perish, but rather for all to come to repentance. And that certainly is the message as we'll hear of John the Baptist today in our gospel reading later. So let us come now before God to thank Him for the many things in our lives and to confess our sins and our wrongdoings before Him. Let's bow our heads now. Loving God, You sent Your prophet John to prepare Your way among us, and we read that in our call to worship. We will see that again in our scripture readings even today, to call us to repentance and make our pathways straight. Those are fancy words, Lord, in so many ways, but we know that repentance means just turning about and changing our lives, going in a different direction than we've been heading. And Lord, making our pathways straight, I mean, the symbology there is very straightforward, so to speak, that instead of constantly dodging and turning and wasting time trying to do whatever, make that pathway straight so that we can move most quickly towards You. Strengthen us to live lives of steadfast love and faithfulness as we read in Scripture and as we await the Messiah's return in this Christmas season, that we can see Your reign of peace through Your just and gracious rule, because, Lord, it is a reign of peace that You offer, even in the midst of a very unpeaceful world in which we live. Lord, You are a faithful God, and we come before You as well this morning to say that there's been times that we've not led the lives of holiness and that straight pathway and all that You call us to. We can get impatient. We can be apathetic. We can even be greedy at times, Lord. And all of this adds up to very much not being at peace. And so, Lord, we come to You this morning to repent of these things. And again, that word repent means to stop doing them and turn around and go in a different way, to drop that way of doing things. And we come to You, Lord, to turn to You in Your love and to ask, Lord, that You will forgive us these wrongdoings, pardon this sinful way that we can behave at times, and to encourage us and guide us and help hold our hand to help us walk in righteousness to the glory of Your name. And, Lord, that image that we've seen for many years now of the two footprints walking in on the beach, and then suddenly there's just one set of footprints. It's that time, Lord, when You carry us. And so, Lord, we ask that You will help carry us when we're weak and when we're not following what You want in our lives. And we know that we can do this because of this coming Messiah. This Christmas season tells us Jesus came with a single purpose, to bring us back into Your presence. And we thank You for that, Lord. And now we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, by the mercy of Christ, we are truly forgiven, for salvation is at hand for all who turn to God as we have done this very morning. Amen. one child to bring peace on earth, and that child is Jesus. And as our next hymn, children's hymn number 687, Blessed Assurance, Jesus, the bringer of peace, is mine. And our next hymn, 687, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Please be seated. Good morning, guys. How are you today? Good? Excellent? Good? All right. I wanted to read a book to you today. I don't do that very much these days, but this is called Follow the Star. And last week we sang one. And look, you've got one called The Christmas Star, too. Lovely. This is a special book. It's a very technical book, very, very, very hard to put together. But I want you to watch this because it's kind of tricky in a way. Are you ready? You've probably seen one of these before. You know what this is called? It's a pop-up book. Yeah, that's kind of neat. I like pop-up books. Do you like pop-up books? See, there's my pop-up book. Once above a humble town, a newborn boy, a herald star, shone out on high, and that star was joy. You see the star? And that's, I guess, Bethlehem is what that's representing, where Jesus was born. Let's see what we got next. Ooh. Even now the messenger blesses Christmas nights. And we heard about that baby boy this morning that brings a blessed message. I'll open it for you guys, too. There you go. See, you can see. There's the star again, yeah. To show, however dark the world, hope will bring the light. Yeah, and it's out in the country, though, you see now. See, there's all the little, there's bunny there, and I let them see it, too. There you go. You see that? There's the little forest, and there's a bunny. Let's see what else we have down here. Make sure I get all the pages right. A messenger throughout the years to say as snowflakes fall. So we've gone from a country scene. What's this? This is a city scene, right? Yeah, just like where we live now, like a city, right? See this beautiful city. It's a message that crosses time and place. There's the star again. Whatever gifts are given us, our thanks will bless them all. And this is, there's a little Christmas tree inside somebody's house. It's a little stuck there. There we go. You see the Christmas tree inside somebody's house. I'll let you see that too, folks. There's a lovely little home with a Christmas tree. And then the very last, ooh, I like that one the best. A star to guide and gather us, as once it did above, a humble town rejoicing in the Christmas gift of love. I'll let you see the last page, folks. It's a lovely Christmas tree. Yeah, very pretty. It's a good message. It's the star that we follow, and that's a good topic that you've got. You and I will talk about that one later, won't we? And that Jesus is that star for us, who guides us and brings peace into the world. And today, being our second Sunday in Advent, we're going to be talking about peace. And peace is a very sometimes difficult thing to understand, but it's a good thing. Let's just take a look at that. Is that, he's got a whole message in here, eh? You and I are going to look over this later? Is that the plan? Okay, very good. Boys and girls, there's something else that we want to do this morning as we think about Advent and helping other people. And I brought some things in to put up on our tree. And I want you to come on over here so we can say a little prayer together for God to bless all these lovely gifts that we're going to be giving to boys and girls and grown-ups too, who are in need for warm clothing and whatnot now that it's winter and it's getting cold. There's lots of people who... Yeah, you brought a bunch of stuff. Very good. There's lots of people in our city who don't have warm gloves and hats and scarves and things. And so we collect this every year to give to those boys and girls and grown-ups too who are in need for knitted things to keep them warm in the winter. Can we just say a little prayer together? Yeah? All right, let's bow our heads and I'll pray. Lord, thank you for the children that are here today, and thank you that they all brought things in, and all the grown-ups here in the church brought different things, and that we've got this lovely mitten tree, we call it. There are so many people who have basic needs, Lord, right in our city. Just a pair of gloves and a hat to wear in the wintertime to stay warm. They don't even have enough to put that together. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll bless all of these gifts to keep people warm and that they can know that you are the star that guides us and gives us that message of peace in this Christmas time, that it is Jesus is truly the reason for this season. Bless these gifts, Lord, and bless the people who will receive them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, boys and girls. We'll off to Sunday school. We'll sing our last verse of our hymn, Seated, please. As we prepare to hear God's word again this morning, read, we take a moment always at this time to say a prayer to invite the Spirit of God to open our hearts and minds. Let's bow our heads. Mighty God, we ask that you will send your Holy Spirit to speak the words of peace that we need to hear, that the good news of this age may be proclaimed through your word, which stands forever, your word which we will hear this very morning. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Our responsive psalm found in the Psalters in your pews, taken from Psalm 85, verses 1 and 2, and then 18 to 13. And it's talking this peace, or shalom in Hebrew, and it's talking about a peace that goes beyond all our understanding in so many ways. And there's lots of imagery in here talking about God's peace as we read through this. And the final verse, we want to think about the way it's worded, and we get to that and you'll see that. That final verse spans the sort of whole scope of the entire Bible. It almost puts us back into the garden, walking with God in that Garden of Eden in Genesis. But it points equally forward to Jesus Christ, who we'll be reading about in Mark's Gospel, or the beginning of that story. There are divine footsteps of justice all the way through the Bible, and certainly identified in this psalm, Psalm 85.
Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned away from your hot anger. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you not revive us again, so that your people may rejoice in you? Let me hear what God will speak, for the Lord will speak peace to the people, to the faithful, to those who turn to God in their hearts.
Surely salvation is at hand for those who fear God, that glory may dwell in our land.
Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase.
Our Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 40, and that's found on page 667 in the Old Testament part of your pew Bibles. Isaiah is broken up into a couple of sections, and in that first part of Isaiah spends a lot of time with a sort of an accusing voice of why the people have been troubled, because in the 6th century B.C., Babylon invaded Judah, as we know, and destroyed much of Jerusalem. It interrupted the economy of the city and the land, and they deported many citizens to Babylon, and they were there for over 50 years. A long time had gone by. And Isaiah, in the beginning of Isaiah, talks about, well, part of the reason that this happened is because God was angry with you for not being faithful as his people. And as we read now in Isaiah 40, we echo some of what we hear in the psalm that we just read, that God has a promise to restore his people to peace. And Isaiah 40 is one that we read very often on a Sunday when we're talking about John the Baptist and about Jesus bringing peace into the world. Isaiah 40, beginning at verse 1. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. For every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed the flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. Our New Testament reading this morning is taken from 2 Peter. That's page 238 in the New Testament part of your pew Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. This epistle, this writing, this letter fits well with the texts and themes for this, the second Sunday of Advent. We've read in Isaiah 40, it's an oracle calling for the courage and confidence that God will reign. And maybe Isaiah 40 verse 8 is echoed most directly in the larger context of this reading this morning from 2 Peter. It is the word of God that creates, pronounces, judges, and redeems even in a world of fragility. God's voice, God's word, is what lasts forever and reminds us that no matter what, God's word stands forever. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are about to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire? But in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. And our gospel reading is found in Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, page 34 in your pew Bibles. And it's a little bit different story of the beginning of this, of Jesus' life. It's different than what we have in Matthew and Luke. This particular one starts out talking about John the Baptist. And we'll talk a little bit more in detail about some of the things that were expected. John was not considered different, I suppose, but he was considered a prophet. The people were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for a prophet to come and free them at the time of Jesus. And John certainly fills that. But John clearly says, I'm not the one. There's somebody else that is, and he is yet to come. Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. Voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong on his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of God. Join together now in our next Advent hymn, Hark the Glad Sound, number 118.
Please be seated. Sunday school teacher asked the children just before she dismissed them to go back to church because they had their service, Sunday school before the church service. And why, boys and girls, is it necessary for us to be very quiet in church? And one little girl replied, because there are people in there sleeping. Yeah, there are at times. Sometimes it's even the minister. We're looking for peace and quiet, and that's why I kind of tell that funny story. We're looking for peace and quiet in the time of Advent and this particular Sunday, and quiet and peace seem to go together in so many ways. It can be very busy for us at this particular time of year, or it can be busy as we look around. Maybe we're not personally busy, but there seems to be a lot of busyness going on, and it seems from year to year it almost gets busier. The traffic, there's more cars on the streets. We can notice that here in Burlington. We've seen more traffic just in this last few years. When you try to go to the mall and there's just middle of the afternoon on a Thursday, you know, like, well, where are these people not working? Like, who's got jobs? You know, but they're all out at the mall and rushing around and doing stuff, and it's crowded. We are here to find and understand this theme today of peace, a peace that is found truly in Jesus. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Lord, as we explore this idea of peace in our Advent time and this particular Sunday, we ask that you will fill us with your peace, a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that only you can provide for us. Help us, Lord, to embrace the idea of peacefulness and quietness and peaceful relations with other folks. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen. So last week we addressed hope. This week we're taking a look at the word peace. And if you look up peace in the dictionary, there's all kinds of definitions that can be provided there. Freedom from disturbance, quiet, tranquility. I mean, there's lots of other words we can put together with that. It maybe has to do with, if you look it up in an encyclopedia, more or less, it has things of an absence of war or conflict, good economy, so everybody is moving along well, and things are, I guess, freedom from civil disorder was one I noticed at one point. The English word came into use, actually, of the word peace itself in English as a translation of the word shalom from Hebrew. And in Latin, that comes out as pax, P-A-X, and that pax turns into peace as we follow. And, you know, I like to follow all these historical kind of lines because it helps us maybe to understand where, when we figure out where it started, what really was meant by saying a particular word or phrase. And understanding what peace is something I think is difficult for us to understand in a world that is not very peaceful most of the time. Turn the TV on or read the newspaper or listen to radio, there's an awful lot of unpeaceful behavior going on, it would seem, right around our world. The idea also about peace, as I said just a minute ago, ties directly with the idea of being quiet. And we often think of a church sanctuary as being a place of quietness and peacefulness and restfulness. And in many ways, the word comes from that true understanding of quietness. And we're in a world today, I have to say, we're very afraid of being quiet. And in church services, in many cases, we don't do much quiet. We tend to fill up the airspace with preaching, with singing, with open prayers. And if we're in a more sort of a, I'll use the word loosely, contemporary type format, there's lights and sounds and screens and all that going on. We're afraid to just stop talking. It gets uncomfortable after a couple of seconds. A minister friend of mine advised me many years ago that silence is your friend. And he meant that in a completely different context because he was at a meeting one time and there was apparently a discussion going on and they were kind of angry with something that had gone on he was involved with and wanted to tear a strip off him, and they barked about it for some time, and he sat like this. And when they had finished, he waited, and that's when he said, "Silence is your friend. Wait just a second longer before..." And then looked up and said, "Oh, were you talking to me? I'm sorry, I missed all that. Can you do it again?" That's passive-aggressive behavior, I suppose, but he reminded me that silence is your friend. And the more I got thinking about that, the more I got thinking about things like our longest night service that we have in the springtime when we do remembrance of life. It's sometimes helpful for us to just be quiet for a moment and to remember that this place, this sanctuary, and the word sanctuary itself even has context of quietness and peacefulness and restfulness, that this is a place where we can come on a Sunday morning to be refreshed and restored by God's peaceful nature in the quietness that the Spirit brings to us. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." That's from Matthew 11. You know, the Buddhists believe very firmly that the way to find peace is to end suffering. When suffering ends, we are peaceful. But they're missing the mark, because that's not all that there is to it. Jesus is peace. Jesus is the one who gives us the peace, because the burden he gives us is a burden that no one else can provide. The world only gets busier and more hectic and more worrisome and less peaceful and as we move along. And to just simply remove suffering only takes away one small part of that. It's not true peace, the peace that God gives us. In a world today when it's very busy, and I know I keep repeating that phrase, but it is very busy. I was talking with someone just recently, and they were telling me that they had been in another country, Thailand or something like that, and they wanted to, where they were was not in a touristy area. They kind of got off the beaten path, and they found in this village there was a small hut, and they were selling iced coffee, believe it or not. And she ordered this iced coffee, and well, because the country she was in grows coffee there, this iced coffee was the best she'd ever tasted. Just unbelievable taste to it. So the next morning, off they go, see that again, and they go to the booth and ask for the iced coffee, and the person in the booth says, "There's no ice. I mean, we're in the middle of nowhere. I didn't get any ice shipment this week." "Well, when will you get some?" "I don't know." "Well, any idea?" "No, and I don't really care." Not that they didn't care about helping this person, but life was much slower. Life was not busy. We expect things to happen now here. And she said that she realized the difference between living here and living in a place where time runs at a different pace. And we often say that because when we go on a vacation, we want to go somewhere where it is slower and where it's quieter and we can rest. And we think, wow, wouldn't it be great to live in that environment all the time? And then we come back to here and we get busy again and get all stressed out and all that sort of thing. Busyness brings stressfulness and takes us away from that peace that God can provide. So we need to slow down. And I want to say that in this context. There's a thing that I've been reading about in the last little while by someone named Thomas Merton, who lived many years ago. And it's all about the contemplative Christian life. And we don't talk too much about that in our modern day because we want things to happen instantly. And I'm going to get on a soapbox. And I was on a soapbox already this week talking with some friends of mine. We're conditioned in our life to, because my thesis is this, folks. We're conditioned partly in life because media influences us so many ways. Television and film has been with us, as I told the WA last year, for 100 years. So our culture has been influenced by the media of television and film and all of those kinds of things for 100 years. We're pretty conditioned to the pacing that takes place. So my thought is this. When we're watching television, and we all do watch television, although some of us, you know, we'll say, oh, I don't watch television, that's too lowbrow. But even when we're talking about reading something, we read quickly. The idea that we're conditioned to here is that everything gets resolved in 30 minutes, and it's 22 minutes now because they've been chopping up to add commercials on. So it's not really fully 30 minutes of TV we're watching. So in 22 minutes, in any given drama or sitcom, if I have a problem with someone, in 22 minutes, the problem is encountered or found. There's a separation that takes place. There's a resolution that takes place. And there's the last commercial, and they come back for the last sort of flashback, and everybody's hugging. That's life. That's life. That's how we think life works. And whether you agree with me or not, look around. Relationships don't last very long. And when things get difficult and don't resolve themselves right away, we get discouraged often and walk away from those relationships because it didn't happen in 22 minutes to get fixed. Peace takes time. Peace takes time. And the contemplative Christian life is encouraging us, as Thomas Merton is writing and showing in Scripture, is taking time to be quiet, taking time to take time, and taking time to let God work. And sometimes, as we look through Scripture, it takes a lifetime. It doesn't take 22 minutes. It can take 80 years. It can take 90 years. It can take 100 years for that to happen. God's peace is something that we need to work at, but not at a high rate of speed. Something that we need to think about. That's the contemplative life. Something that would be nice in one sense, and that's why I encourage this service next Sunday afternoon as more than just a remembering those who have, you know, passed away, but as a time for us to be reflective, a time for us to just sit quietly in God's home and God's house here and let the peace of God overwhelm us. And do so without the words and noise and sounds. I said it, and I'm going to just close it with saying it again. We are afraid of silence. And I'm very guilty of that. And you can ask Donna anytime. Because the television or the radio or the music is always on. And I've been working very hard at trying to turn it off. We're afraid of silence, folks. We like to have noise around us. And there's a lot of reasons that we can maybe ponder as to why that is. But it's an opportunity, if we can do it and challenge ourselves to do that, to let God's peace reign in our lives. It's hard to do with TVs going off and kids running around and phone calls coming in and dinners to make and cleaning up to be done and appointments with doctors that never seem to end. But if we are trying to be truly faithful to God, we need to take those moments to prepare our hearts to that God can be faithful in speaking the peace in silence that we are longing for. For God's peace is found in Jesus, and as we calm ourselves before Him, seeking His peace, we can and will experience something truly special this Advent season, and particularly this day when we're thinking about peace. And what peace means for us as Christians, and the peace that passes all understanding that Jesus provides. Amen. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase, is what it says in Scripture. May your righteousness go before God and prepare a pathway for the Lord. Let us now offer our lives and labor to God and present God with our tithes and offerings. Peaceful God, we thank you for the many blessings you give us. And Lord, we ask that you will bless this offering today to bring your peace into a world that needs peace at all costs. Lord, we thank you for this, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I want to thank you again, everybody, for the acts of faithfulness that have been continuing on from week to week here at this time when we come before God with our prayers of the people. And I say I thank you only because you are responding in an act of faith by offering the names of people in your life, whether it's out loud or just quietly. And it's important, especially at a time as such as this, that we do that. There are many people in our congregation right now who are ill, and many who are away even this morning because of that illness that they're suffering. And we want to make sure that we continue to pray for them. Other people in our congregation travel this time of year sometimes, and they head down south, and they're snowbirds, whatever that may be, and we want to pray for them too, that they can find a place to worship where they may be for several months while they're away and be able to return to us safely. Most of all, this is a time for us to really be praying for today, the peace that Christ can offer to people who need it in our lives. This is a really hard time of year for lots of people. And again, I was chatting with some people at the hospital the other day in the chaplaincy group, and this is a tough time. And we kind of know that. We hear the statistics now and again. But I remember when I first started chaplaincy training, I started around this time of year, and I asked to be put into the ICU unit and emerge. And when I went to the ICU unit, the head nurse in there said, "Well, you've picked a wonderful time to start, because this is the time of year when we get very busy, sadly." And I knew it would be busy and hard. It truly is a hard time for so many people. And so we want to make sure we're praying for folks, you know, who struggle at this time of year. So let's now come before God and offer our prayers for those folks in our lives. Lord, we thank you that we have this wonderful opportunity every Sunday to come to you and to offer names and issues and whatnot of things that are going on in our lives and in around the world. It's probably in so many ways one of the most important things that we do as an outreach, because we are, as we can see in our bulletin, the way we've worded this, this is a response to our faith. You fed us, Lord, through reading Scripture and hearing some words spoken about those Scriptures. And now we are responding with our offering to work in our community, but also in our prayers. And Lord, this congregation has been very faithful, and you've been honoring that faithful act with the lives that have been mentioned. So Lord, this day when we're thinking about peace and calmness and quietness and a peace that only you can provide, we think of folks that are in our lives, Lord, and think of those who need intervention in that sense by your Spirit in their life, whether it's a physical need, a spiritual need, an emotional or mental health issue. Be with these people, Lord. And Lord, now we take a time and we offer these names to you. Lord, there is something very mysterious about prayer. Mysterious not because it's magic or anything. It's just that there's something that we don't fully understand about prayer. We do this as an act of faith. We do this because you've commanded us to. We do this because we can read in Scripture that when people pray, you respond. We can look back in our own lives knowing there have been times when we've prayed and you've acted. It's mysterious nonetheless. So Lord, this morning as we have said names and also sat for a moment in silence and said names maybe in our hearts and minds, Lord, we are praying that you will honor this act, this prayerful act of faith in offering these names up. Every person, Lord, and I know, Lord, I say this maybe almost too much, but Lord, every person is not just by themselves. If there's a sick person, Lord, there's their family and their friends around them who are also being affected by that illness or by that need, whatever it may be. And when we think about it for a moment, Lord, we're not praying for just one person. We could be praying for dozens of people, all connected to that one name. And that your hand can work a miracle, a mysterious miracle in their lives. This is an act of faith that you called us to, and we thank you for that, Lord. Bring peace and restoration and hope into these lives of the names that have been mentioned this morning. And bless all the families and friends connected to them. Lord, we do this in faith, in trust, and in hope, all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Join together now in our final hymn, number 740, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. And that's what we're all about today, is trying to understand how we can be a channel for God's peace, a place where God's peace can flow out. Number 740, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. The day of the Lord is coming. We've read about that this morning, and we know that in our Advent season. That's what Advent's all about. Therefore, strive to live in peace, for God's salvation truly is near. And now may faithfulness spring up from the ground and righteousness look down from heaven as you walk the way of peace this week. And may the blessing of God, eternal majesty, living word, and holy comforter be with you now and always. Amen.